Miami KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Good to have you with us. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We're joined by our friend Alma, the anti-fracker.
Alma, good to have you with us here.
Good to be here, Kevin. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about why you're here. The last time you were here, you and your husband Jim were at Chick-fil-A with us, and we were going back and forth concerning your time in prison.
Yes. my paid leave or unpaid leave at the Payette County no-tell jail cell.
Right. And for people that aren't familiar with your case, you were arrested for, you were trying to speak your mind in a public meeting and they said you couldn't. And then all of a sudden they hauled you away.
That's
and
right.
From what I understand, your rights were denied. What happened there? I mean, what were you doing, selling guns or drugs or something that you did time?
No, I was actually at a public meeting in a public building, the Payette County Courthouse, no less.
Right.
And I had testified earlier at a public hearing, and what happened was they had closed that hearing, and then they were having discussion amongst the PNZ members, and Mr. Pete Morgan, who's one of the PNZ members, decided to use the opportunity.
Planning and zoning for
planning
those of us keeping
yes.
the score at home. Yes.
Thank you, planning and zoning. And Mr. Morgan decided to use that opportunity to launch into a personal character assault on me. And so I stood up and said, point of order. I didn't think that was very fair.
Right.
And especially since it was a point in the meeting where I couldn't say anything. And they told me to basically, sit down and shut up. And I'm like, well, they're supposed to address your point of order. And it never was. And basically they said, if you don't leave, we're going to have you arrested. And I said, well, this is a public meeting in a public building. I am not leaving. And so they arrested me.
And what happened henceforth? Were you given your constitutional rights while you were in prison?
Kevin, we don't have any more constitutional rights in this country, don't you know? No, I was not. In fact, I've been talking to attorneys about a 1983 lawsuit, which is a wrongful imprisonment lawsuit. And they figured that probably no less than 4 or 5 amendments were violated in my case, including my right to remain silent until I'm allowed to talk to an attorney. I was never allowed to make a call to an attorney.
So, fast forward now, where's the case at? Are you still out on bail?
Well, actually, they kicked me out after about 8 days with no bail requirements after first setting bail and then raising bail on me. But the last court date, which was just a few weeks ago, me and my attorney showed up. The prosecuting attorney didn't come. We are now on special prosecutor number 3. We have been Brian Taylor, I believe it is, with Canyon County, has now been assigned as a special.
Oh, the Canyon County prosecutor.
The Canyon County prosecutor is now the prosecutor in my case. I'm kind of feeling like a hot potato.
Right.
like nobody wants me.
Well, you always have a home here, and of course with Jim. So let's talk, which is, I'm sure, reassuring to you both.
It's hard to take you serious with all those balloons on your head, Kevin.
Yes, I know.
I love it.
Yes. Thank you, Reverend Bill, and our friends at the Boise Rescue Mission. This is serious journalism here with these balloons on my head.
Absolutely.
At 580 KIDO. But you are here to talk a little bit about what's going on with the House, with the Senate. And before that, though, let's go to Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
You and my son are just a year apart, so it's pretty awesome.
I remember when he was 47.
Yes, and pretty soon he can be a year older than you again. But, hey, we love what you do. And the anti-fracker there, congratulations on being out. And then we're waiting to hear the information you have for us. But what a great day. We just love what you do there, Kevin. You're so awesome at getting things done and getting the right people there and informing us. We just need more of you, and I know that's not going to happen in today's society because everybody wants to please everybody else instead of really stirring the pot a little bit. But you have a good tendency to do. So we appreciate you. Happy birthday, and have a great new year.
God bless you, Patriot Ray. Thank you.
God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. 580 KIDO. Coming up, we've got some more people on the phone at 580-5436. But let's talk a little bit about fracking and what's going on here in the state.
Thank you, Kevin. And I actually would,
Alma, enough of me.
I would well, it's your birthday. You're the birthday boy. Yes. I would mirror Patriot Ray's thoughts, and I would just like to actually add one caveat, if I may, Kevin. You know, while I have my independent individual thoughts on fracking, what I'm actually here to talk about today is private property rights,
okay,
because that's what's being violated in Idaho. And that
you were pretty vocal on this on social media the past couple of days. That's
my
attention.
Yes,
so.
I have been very vocal about this because there is an assault on private property rights in the state of Idaho right now. And it is, I find it egregious because that assault is being launched by our so-called, you know, conservative Republican members of both sides of the aisle.
Shocking.
Very shocking. And, you know, and I think that if you're going to walk the walk, you need, you know, talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. And they're not doing that. What happened was just this past Monday, out of the Senate Resources Committee, they passed the pending rules on oil and gas production in the state of Idaho. And there's lots of problems with these rules, but I think the worst issue in them has to do with integration and forcing people to give up their private property rights. And basically what it says is that if the state or if an oil and gas company leases 55% of the mineral rights only, doesn't have to be 55% of the total ownership in a section, mineral rights only. So those mineral rights could belong to an out-of-state or out-of-country mineral rights investor. But if 55% of those are leased in this section, then that company can go before the Idaho Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and request integration of the remaining 45% of the mineral rights owner.
So you can be, so you won't get any of the mineral rights, and could you be kicked off your property?
Well, they still have to pay you your royalty. However, here's the kicker, Kevin. There's actually several problems with this. The main problem is that, so you've got three options. If the Idaho Oil and Gas Conservation Commission issues this order to integrate you, you have three options. You can become a working interest owner. That means that you write Alta Mesa or whichever company a check for your portion of what it costs to put that well in and any and all infrastructure. So let's say for the purposes of simple math, that cost is $2 million, and there's four mineral rights equal percentage owners. So
right.
Your portion of that is $500,000. You write Alta Mesa a check for $500,000 up front.
Okay? I'll put it on my card.
Absolutely. Me too.
Yeah.
The second option is non-consenting working interest owner. That means that you want this activity. You're really happy to have it. You believe in it. But you don't have a check for $500,000 to write. So they're going to be real kind to you and let you participate and become a non-consenting working interest owner. But what they're going to do is instead of getting your eighth royalty, you only get 1/8 percent of the royalty, and you're assessed a 300% penalty.
More on that in a minute. I'm sure a gentleman who always likes to spar with you, Tea Party Bob, joins us now at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Well, first, Kevin, it's a very important thing I got to do here, and that's happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Kevin, happy birthday to you.
Oh, if only I could carry a tune like you.
And now onward to the gas and oil. We've been writing a lot of articles, put a lot of articles in our newsletter about.
Would you ever want Alma to be a contributor to your publication?
I have asked Alma several times.
To the Gem State Patriot, why won't you write for Tea Party Bob?
I must have missed those emails, Tea Party Bob. I'd be happy to submit an article. What would you like for me to address?
Well, I mean, we've already had Joe Morton and people from Gem County addressing the problem, and I understand what the problem is, and it is a property rights issue. With 45%, having to join in with those that own the 55%. I don't think there's another state that has that percentage in their gas and oil leases. This is probably the lowest of any state, and it really does hamper the individual property rights, especially with oil and gas being so cheap now as compared to what it was just 3-4 months ago. And you really don't have the choice of what price you're going to sell it at.
Yep.
I would think that our legislators were a little bit hasty in pushing this through and allowing the oil companies to pretty much dominate whatever they want to do with only the 55% rule. So I don't know how you're going to change that once they have it into law, and I understand they did put that into law, but it's going to take a lot of hard work. Personally, I hope you guys get what you want out there. There's an awful lot of controversy about how much oil and gas there is underneath the ground in Jim and Fayette counties, and I think they may find that over time it probably wasn't worth all of this rigmarole when they start pumping it out. And I wish you a lot of luck, Elma. I hope everything goes well. Please write something. We'd love to put it in there. Just keep it simple.
Okay, I appreciate that, Tea Party Bob, and I absolutely agree with you. I think, and to address your comments on how much is out there, the well that is a split estate that's on the Tunison Dairy property out in New Plymouth, I think that the state in total has received for the 18 months that well has been in production just a little bit over $1,700.
Yeah, we're $1,676.79.
Yeah.
See, that's why he's the editor. Tea Party Bob, thank you.
Have a good day.
All right, we appreciate it. 818-580-5436. Talking about property rights, what you should know if someone wants to drill on your land, number one, and number two, the whole fracking movement, and how concerned should we be about our groundwater safety? Alma has done the research. She's done time, and she'll go back and forth with you on that, number one, and number two, provide us with some great information.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, our friend Alma with us. As we take a look at the fracking and perhaps the loss of private property rights here in the state of Idaho. So you've been going up to Boise, you've been talking to these folks. You're here to let people know about these big companies coming in. How are, you know, people say that the Dakotas have taken a hit, but have the lowering of gas prices slowed the fracking movement here in Idaho?
Well, we haven't seen a slowdown per se, Kevin, but right now they're working on finishing up the pipeline so that they can bring these additional 16 wells into production.
Now, you're going to have to give us the pipeline. What's that?
The pipeline is the way that they carry the product from the wells.
I know what a pipeline is, but
okay.
No, I'm saying...
Sorry.
Look, hold on. I'm a goof, but I'm not that big of a goof. But when we're talking about this pipeline in Idaho, you'll have to give us that.
So they're currently in the process and the final stages of constructing a pipeline from the wells in the Little Willow field to get that that wet gas and dry gas over to their Highway 30 facility, which is where they will compress it, you know, clean it, compress it, and do some mini refining, if you will, and then get that into the pipeline so that it can, you know, go to probably to the coast for export, really. But that's, they're working on getting that completed as we speak, and I think that their timeline at this point is sometime this spring.
And how big a money interests are coming into Idaho? Can we hear about Wyoming? We hear about the Dakotas. Obviously, everybody hears about the Dakotas. People have said, and we've had this debate, and haven't backed down from anybody here, that we need these jobs, good, well-paying jobs here in Idaho. How much of an interest do these companies, these big corporations, these foreign conglomerates have in the Gem State?
Right now, what we're seeing in Payette County is a lot of Texas plates and Oklahoma plates and
sure.
Louisiana plates. And you know, this job thing is a fallacy. And with your permission, Kevin, I would just like to read one paragraph from an article entitled "The False Promise of Fracking and Local Jobs."
Now, wait a minute. I thought the only person we got to read along on the show was me.
Well, I want to make sure that I have this absolutely correct. In Ohio, where extraction continues because its shale holds both natural gas and other valuable wet gas hydrocarbons, just like us here in Idaho. A series of investigative reports by the Columbus Dispatch showed that at least a third of the workforce in drilling areas are transient workers. In the four Ohio counties with the most shale permits, the number of local people employed actually decreased between 2007 and 2013. So the promise of local jobs is just that. It's a fallacy. Will there be maybe a couple more waitresses who have jobs? Perhaps. You know, maybe a couple more retail clerks who have jobs? Perhaps. But in terms of those high-paying rig jobs, those guys are coming out of Texas. They're coming out of Oklahoma. They're traveling with those rigs. Those are not our local boys.
We go to the phones, and we go to Pro-Life with at 580KIDO. Hello, Pro-Life.
Yes, I appreciate what Alma is doing, and my question was, I heard her speaking about when you're in a forced integration, you have a lower percentage of royalties, mm-hmm. and I did not understand the reduction amount, and so I want you to explain that again.
Okay, that, thank you for that clarification, Pro-Life, because that is very, very important. So if you don't have that, in my example, that $500,000 check to write to Alta Mesa, then you are going to, instead of receiving your eighth royalties, you're going to be reduced to 1/8 royalty, and you're going to pay a 300% penalty. So in my example, where that well, not just the well, and all of other related infrastructure, mind you, when that cost is $2 million, and there are four people who are equal mineral rights owners, so each of their shares is $500,000. So my, if I become a non-working interest owner, I'm going to, Alta Mesa is going to reduce my royalties to 1/8 until I have paid them back $1.5 million. So they're going to, so it's a big, if you're an oil and gas company, our legislatures have just handed you, you know, the keys to the kingdom, basically. And not only that, but the other thing, one of the other things I'd like to hit on is that Idaho has one of the lowest, if not the lowest, severance tax in the nation. Our severance tax is 2.5%. Wyoming's is 6, Utah's is 5, Texas is 7.5, Oregon is 6, North Dakota is 6.5. Why are we giving this stuff away? You know, not only are we assaulting private property rights and forcing people to do things that they want to do at a much lower percentage than a lot of other states, but then they're only charging 2.5% severance tax. That's crazy. And it doesn't make any sense if the whole argument here is that it's going to get our state out of debt and this money's going to go towards education. Why don't we have a reasonable severance tax in the state of Idaho? Why are we only at 2.5%?
Pro-Life, thank you for the call. Those are a lot of questions that 580KIDO, how much in danger if the wells continue to grow here are we when we're talking about our farms and our food supply?
That's a really good point, Kevin. So what happens in these areas where oil and gas drilling develops, they turn what used to be formerly rural agricultural production areas into industrialized zones, basically. Because what you have to understand is it's not just the well. The well itself, nothing happens with just the well itself. Industry needs all of this other related infrastructure. They need the pipelines. They need the gathering lines. They need the tank batteries. They need the waste containment ponds. They need the dehydration compression stations. They need the refrigeration plants. They need all of that. And so you lose prime farm ground. In fact, right now in Payette County, there are 35 acres where they're wanting to put in a rail spur and another large refinery, if you will, that will have the ability to store 1.3 million gallons of highly volatile natural gas liquids and condensate on a piece of prime irrigated farm ground. So that's what happens. We lose our farm ground, and for a state that prides itself on being, you know, the creme de la creme, if you will, in agricultural production in the nation, I don't know. I just, you know, either we want to save our farm ground and we want to produce agriculture and that's what we want to do, or we want to just become a big refinery, you know.
Let's go to New Plymouth and Mark at 580KIDO. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in. I actually live in New Plymouth and I work in the industry, and I know for a fact that we've hired multiple locals, and if you talk to the local economy here at the grocery store or the club or Double Diamond Whataburger then, all these places will say that they've, you know, they have an increase in sales due to Alta Mesa and, you know, all the other contractors being here and working. I just hired multiple New Plymouth people to come work and get a job. So
to answer that question, I don't live in New Plymouth, but I do live in Payette County, and my husband and I are actually small business owners and also employ local folks. I've talked to I don't know how many people who are in the you know 21 to 28, 30 year old range, and they nor none of their friends have been employed by industry. So I did not say there would be no jobs. I said there would be a few jobs, but those promises of those high paying rig jobs, you and I both, Mark, know that those guys travel with those rigs, and they're coming out of Texas, and they're coming out of Oklahoma, and they are not Idaho boys.
And actually, they are. I know personally four of them that are all right here, New Plymouth locals that have been born and raised here, as I was born and raised here in Caldwell, Meridian,
all right,
graduated Centennial, and then moved away to work in the oil and gas for the industry, and now able to move back after 8 years.
Mark, great call. I've got to run. 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hi, Manny KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. It is the Manly Man segment. Dave Burnett joins us for his favorite day of the week, Friday, because he leaves us for 2 days and does whatever Dave Burnett does on the weekends. Usually a life filled with adventure, excitement, travel, enthusiasm. Perhaps he'll go to the lovely city of Tehran.
That'd be beautiful this time of year, Tehran.
Apparently, yeah. You know, I was watching this Anthony Boudreau or whatever his name is.
See the guy that eats all the weird stuff?
Kind of.
A different one, yeah.
He, you know, his new thing on CNN, he goes to strange places, and so he went to Tehran and Iran and all this, and he's talking to these journalists, and they're ripping it on the Saudis and everything, and then all of a sudden, the journalists disappear after talking to him 3 weeks later. One worked for the Washington Post, one was working in Tehran, she was a female, is a female, so she gets released 3 weeks later, the American guy still being held. And Anthony, whatever his name is, goes, well, you know, people disappear here.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there's actually armed gangs roaming the streets that can pull you over at the drop of a hat. And the guy goes, don't film them. Put that down. And Anthony's going, well, you know, it's just how life is here.
Well, it is how life is there. I mean, right, that statement is true, but to just go, ah, shucks, oh, well, I mean, this is wrong.
And I was sitting there, because I've always been fascinated with that country ever since the hostages, and I'd love to go to the former embassy there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's now a museum.
I have an opportunity 2-3 times a year to talk to some folks that have moved from Iran probably within the last 5-6 years. And they are, by the way, they're legal citizens here, did it the right way. But I'm almost fascinated. I can talk for hours. I don't know why. I would like to visit. That's a country I would like to visit.
Right.
Believe it or not. But not necessarily to disappear. Oh, it happens. I don't want to do that. But as I understand it, beautiful country.
Right.
But, yeah, I share your fascination.
Indeed. Indeed. Mm-hmm. I get back to that, you know, we were talking about yesterday with Bill Gertz how the administration is desperate to do their deal with Iran, and never mind that the Iranians continue to break their deals.
Yeah, I don't even think they're close to keeping them.
Yeah, it kind of scary when you think about just the world today, and it just destroys the narrative when people are saying how great our policies are and everything else. Now the jobs report about ready to come out today, and oh, well, there'll be another 200,000 jobs. And, you know, it's the U3 numbers, not the U6 numbers. And you know this. There are people that have just given up.
Well, just given up and or settled for $10 an hour jobs, trying to, you know, raise a family on $10 an hour. And that's tough to do. It is tough to do, but, you know, what are you going to do? Your unemployment's run out, so you take that. And it is difficult. And then we're told, those are great jobs. Okay.
Yeah, great jobs. There you go. It just makes you really think. And obviously, with these kids getting ready to graduate, of course, a couple months before graduation, but people will be taking their final exams. We have a lot of kids here that work here and just graduated, and you know they're working two or three jobs, and they're trying to get that fresh opportunity. And does it really exist today? And you have the narrative today, hey, everything is great, everything is wonderful. And then the reality of people not having the same jobs that Americans had 10 years ago, the same economic opportunities.
Yeah, and I get it. Things change. You know, I get that. But, you know, this is not, you know, if you owned a buggy whip factory, you would be in trouble. You know, I get that. And we're not going to have quite the heavy industrial construction we once had. But it's just tough when, you know, you look in our field, jobs that at one time paid X amount, it just doesn't pay that anymore. There was a time where you could go into a major market and be a news person and make pretty decent money. Not anymore. And those that did have those jobs have been let go because they were making too much money. And now they're, you know, public information officers for some government agency. So it is a different, tough world we live in.
Right. Definitely.
But it's cheery news on a Friday, isn't it? Let's talk about the Basque coming to town to play soccer.
That is kind of strange.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
Well, and they're not going to do it on the blue field.
Where are they going to do it?
They're going to put real-life turf over the blue field, or maybe it's going to be artificial green turf, but it won't be the blue turf.
Wow. Why would you do that?
Apparently, maybe it's soccer standards. But it won't be on the blue per se. It will be over the blue. Although my source is Channel 5 Plus 1,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, they. and here you go, Kevin. Why aren't you getting out and going somewhere?
Yes. Go ice fishing and Cascade.
Why don't you go to Idaho Falls since you seem to love it so much, although you've never been there?
Yeah, you love that city.
I do.
And, you've never been there.
Exactly.
I'm going to go to Fairfield.
And this, hey, I've been to Fairfield now.
That's beautiful this time of year.
You know, never mind. Another stupid story. But, I was watching the TV last night and, you know, as Mrs. Milton, they actually pay you to do this. Hey, I'm working here. So, just when I was given Channel 5 Plus 1 these big compliments, all of a sudden they do a story, and you know you're in trouble when they're doing a story about the Idaho Education Network and they go to a clip with Greg Pruitt about the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. They just kind of, and this is what Timmy said, and they just kind of gloss over it. It was interesting.
So that was your evening, huh?
Well, that, and they were giving us a hard time about our festival coming up. Well, that was interesting as well.
Which festival?
America's on Tap.
Oh, 5 Plus 1 was?
Yeah, they, you know, it was kind of a backhanded compliment where they go, so there's going to be this festival, and they wouldn't say it's a national company bringing this in. And, you know, in a little insight, these things are announced. It's on this radio station. Releases have been sent out, and they know what they were talking about. It was like a backhanded slap where they kept going, and they're going to have things that the same time as in this, you know, Tree Fort, and then the
Brew Fort, which happens to be their company's event.
Right. And they kept going on and on like it was this passive aggressive smack for like 3 minutes, and they really didn't execute it very well. Well, who's going to go out to the Ford Idaho Center? And I'm going, you know, the Ford Idaho Center is pretty convenient as far as getting in and out, whether you're coming from Boise or Meridian or
sure.
Nampa or Call. I mean,
it's in the center of the Treasure Valley.
That's my preferred venue just because of the parking. You know me, I'm going, But so they just went, I forgot to tell you this in our pre-show meeting. They were going on and on about how there was a brew event in Meridian. I think that was at Kleiner's Park, and it was like a year. And they go, well, that didn't work, so I don't know if anybody's going to drive out there. As if we're talking about going to my beloved Idaho Falls that I've never been to.
Or driving to Fairfield. Let's go to the desert for a concert. What?
Yeah,
why do I want to go out in the middle of the desert?
It's just, I was just like,
you got Taco Bell Arena over here.
I kept going, you know, and I was watching this, and I'm going, no, they're really doing this. And that was their whole bit on smacking America on tap, America's on tap. It was just interesting. So people, they probably couldn't tell you what happened to the Jordanian pilot, but when it comes to Brews in Boise or Nampa or what have you,
they had it down.
They had it covered.
Now let's go to Dot Score Al.
And then I'm thinking to myself, you know, no one wants to smack someone about lack of credibility and not have credibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, the whole, we were talking about this, the Rocky Barker thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where Rocky smacked
with the newspaper.
Right. Rocky, you know, and look, doing some research on him, he's very passionate about it. He's motor skied, bike rode, mountain biked, jet skied, dirt biked, and all through that area, mm-hmm. Okay? I have trouble saying Boulder White Clouds, okay? So then he says, well, his sources are from Mars. And then he...
like he's been from Mars.
Right, but then he names the wrong place I'm at. And I'm going, well, there goes your credibility. So we have a tendency sometimes, I think, all of us, to take ourselves so seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. I was just laughing at that one, too. It was just funny where they're going, and let's go to the Idaho Education Network, and it's Greg Pruitt talking about the guns. It was so funny. That never happens on this program.
No. Yeah. It will never happen. You'll never see that happening here.
The computers always fire every, you know.
But thanks for coming in today, Ben.
Yeah. No. So anyway, that was, that's just kind of what I did last night. I was trying to think of anything else. You know, that's what I should do. I should just do a week in Idaho Falls and a week in Salt Lake, a week in Portland, a week in Seattle. That could be my vacation without taking a vacation.
That'd be good. You could use it as a tax write-up or something.
Yeah.
I was trying to go to Channel 6 Plus 1's website to see if I could find that story, but their website's all messed up for me.
No, boy, I hate it when that happens.
I know. It doesn't happen here.
Man.
So, there you go. What else you got going on? I mean, you've got high school girls basketball going on.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people go, what's the big deal with that? I had the best time early in my career calling those games.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I don't know, want to say the men's game. At the high school level, it's still fun to watch. But the girls' game is so much more technical, I've found.
Well, it is pure sport in that, you know, in that plays, execution. You
right.
see more of that, not quite so much street ball.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, you get in the guys' game, and the older they get, the more street ball you see.
Right.
But, so, actually, on our station down the hall, which is not allowed to be mentioned on this show, but we're going to do the district championship for the girls next Friday. So looking forward to that.
Oh, no, you can mention that station.
Oh, can I? Yeah. I thought you said I couldn't. You just told me I couldn't at one time.
No, that was the other one.
Now you're changing all the rules.
I'm being a flip-flopper. Just call me Mitt Romney Miller.
Yeah, you are. Mitt Miller.
Mitt Miller. Mitt Milley.
Follow the bouncing ball. Oh, that's Mitch Miller.
Whoa. Yeah, and by the way, how about the rescue mission people coming in here yesterday?
Oh, with the balloons?
Yeah.
Well,
I was kind of embarrassed.
You know, you were kind of funny about it all.
How's that? Give me your read on that.
Well, you were, you know, kind of like you were embarrassed in a way.
I was.
Why should you be embarrassed? It's your birthday.
I just am. You know, we used to have it where everybody'd come in, and then, you know, you think to yourself, well, it's kind of gratuitous. Oh, is it all about me, as you would say? Oh, well, it is.
It is all about you. I'm reminded that every day when I come in here.
Wow.
That it's all about Kevin Miller.
Wow.
Sure.
I don't know where we can go from there.
No, that's pretty much it.
Well, you got Charles Haley's mad that says all the Patriots Super Bowls are tainted.
Yes, everyone. Every game they've ever played is tainted.
And plus, now Radio Shack going out of business. I can't wait for the next issue of Bloomberg Business Week because I get a subscription to that. It's going to be the cover story.
Well, it is a changing world. We talked about that here a while back, didn't we?
Yes, we did, to a degree.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a changing world, much like... Sports Illustrated has fired all their photographers.
Really?
Yeah, it's all freelance work now. There are no Sports Illustrated photographers. It's a changing world we're in, Kevin.
Well, you know what's an amazing thing about me, but that I've looked at is, and I'm kind of a little loopy here because of the cold that somebody gave on me. But you weren't going to go. I'm glad you
I'm
didn't.
Not going there.
Yeah. So
let's see, our boss gave you a cold.
Apparently, yes. Back to the point, it's funny when you have these writers from Sports Illustrated that all of a sudden start appearing on ESPN, then all of a sudden they become ESPN people. They, like, poach everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something there. So, okay, so we have Charles Haley ripping the Patriots. I think he's just a hater. And by the way, you remember Terry Bradshaw.
Well, I've never met him, but I watch him all the time, and I remember him playing.
Where would you judge him as one of the great quarterbacks of all time?
Because of a different skill set. I mean, did he have the passing skill set of a Marino or a Brady? No. But as far as leadership and running a team, he's top five. He's me, maybe top three.
See, I would agree with you based on he's, you know, he and Montana were the only players before Brady to, you know, win four Super Bowls. He went 4-for-4.
Yeah.
And people say he won with defense. Those last two Super Bowls, remember, they changed the rules, and those were shootouts.
Yeah. No, there's a difference. I mean, there are those passers. Elway was a passer. He could run a team, too. But, you know, there are those teams that you have, like a Marino. That guy was a passer. That guy was a heck of a quarterback and a passer. But Bradshaw knew how to run a team.
Right.
And there are those, you know, and maybe Russell Wilson's one of those knows-how-to-run-a-team guy. I don't know. That's yet to be proven.
Right.
But Bradshaw was great in that he knew his weapons and he knew how to use his weapons.
Right.
So that's why I would place him up there.
I see.
Football smart.
Well, it's just funny. So I would never, ever put Terry Bradshaw on that. And I'm like, man, do they disrespect that guy and Chuck Knoll.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing to me. So we've got that going on. The first big weekend without football. What are you going to do?
Me? I'm doing a lot of basketball, high school basketball this
right.
weekend. So doing that, and I may take a trip to the dump on Saturday.
Now, this is compelling stuff that you're not going to get anywhere else.
No, well, look at the temperature. It's 62 degrees outside.
Yes.
It's balmy.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
559 coming up, David Ripley, big event yesterday at the Capitol. He was testifying concerning the future of the life movement in the state. We'll get to that. Time for traffic now with Dave. You know, it's interesting taking a look at the world that we live in and the world occupied by the media. Our friend Greg Pruitt working diligently to get his constitutional carry bill heard, and the reaction from the media. We'll dissect it next.